Today on VFN TV, we're going to continue the wonderful interview with Ron Latini talking about unity and a march changing America.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So you write about it in your book, you know, a bad memory that never had closure, a bad memory. And it's about, you talk about the racial riots of the 1970s, and literally the community was divided. It was at Escambia High School in Pensacola. Tell us a little bit about that.
When I arrived at Myrtle Grove Baptist Church to become pastor in 1997, there were many people of the boomer generation, mm-hmm. Which would have been my age group, mm-hmm. that had been students at the high school in the mid-1970s, and were part of the racial riots that occurred at Escambia High School. In fact, notably, it was some of the most severe rioting mm-hmm. that took place anywhere in Escambia County, yeah. was at Escambia High. Now, with our church, Myrtle Grove Baptist, located right next door to Escambia High School, many of the people of my generation in the church had experienced and were students at Escambia High during that time.
So you're looking at, though, there was like 26 students who were injured by rocks. There was 2,523 students who attended a high school that was involved in riots. I believe there was a shooting, right? 4 students were shot during that time. So it was major. It's like, this is a major
crosses,
New York Times.
Crosses being burned on the, in front of the homes of board members, school board members.
Yeah, and the sponsor, the school mascot was Rebel,
right?
Rebels.
Yeah,
which would represent like the rebel flag, right? Was that the flag? I guess.
Yeah, what they were doing, the riot occurred. What sparked it was the changing of the name, the mascot name, from Rebel to something else.
Right.
And
I thought it was Rebel to Gators, but you see, there was Rangers.
No, it was before that.
It was Rangers, right?
Rangers.
Yeah.
And what happened? Many of the students were absent the day the vote was taking place. Hundreds of them. So they wanted to come back, and they wanted to demand.
Because whatever the greatest majority of the votes would be, that's who gets the name of the school.
Exactly. And so they wanted to have their vote count and wanted to demand another vote. And then that got into a heated argument with those on the opposing side, broke into a riot, and a lot of bad things happened.
Shootings.
Yeah, all
rocks,
the stuff you mentioned.
Parents.
So members of my church, their memories of their high school years.
There were students then.
There were students.
Okay.
Are tainted by the memories of those riots.
That's their high school experience.
Yeah, they go back to that horrible time.
Metal detectors, police protection.
And when I befriended my good friend, Dr. James Miller, the African-American pastor mm-hmm. at First Baptist Church of Warrenton, for some 37 years now.
Right.
James recalls going back in time. Mm-hmm. He could remember when all that was going on. Members of his church that were boomers.
Right.
Have memories also like my church members.
But they're African American.
But from the African American perspective, that side.
So and your church is more predominantly white?
Predominantly white.
Okay.
Though
okay.
integrated, yet predominantly
right.
white.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have scars
right.
on the hearts of people on both sides.
Life experience.
Wounds that never got healed. There was no closure of that.
Right.
Life just went on.
Right.
You know, and there was, and everybody stayed isolated with bad memories.
Well, you see why maybe it was so segregated later on,
yeah.
because we never dealt with that issue.
Never
that
dealt
then.
With the issue. Like America, you could almost say it was almost like an example of what occurred in America
right.
as a whole mm-hmm. after the Civil Rights Movement, the riots and everything. While people may still have not agreed,
right.
they all settled down
right.
and went back to their isolation. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. There are exceptions, certainly,
right.
in this country. Thank God for the exceptions
right.
and those that have overcome division. But for the most part, that's not the case. Stories like Escambia High School are stories that could be told across the country.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at, so you had one experience pastoring a church of some of the students, and then Dr. James Miller had an experience of pastoring some of the students. The uniqueness of y'all's two different congregations was yours is predominantly a white
right.
experience during
right.
that time. And his is predominantly a black experience at a time.
That's right.
And it's like the two never cross, so you never get a chance to have that. These young teenagers who yeah. are in school are now the leaders in the community, that are business leaders, the parents of these younger people, but they've never got to resolve. It is the unresolved issue, right?
It's not only there, it's the unresolved issue, as we know right now, in our country.
Yeah.
In our country, with extremes on both sides.
Right, right. So then, what is the one, think about this, that, you know, Dr. James Miller's church, you know, they have one experience from what they, because, you know, his people were being told, you're less than, and you're not equal than, and other people in your congregation were probably being told, you're better than, and it's like, no, we're all equal then, you know?
Right.
You know, we're all created by God, you know, our very motto.
Yeah, I would say this, to the credit of many on both sides of that issue back then. I'm sure that there were good Christian people in the churches, and I know in Myrtle Grove for sure, that didn't like what was happening and realized that this ought not to be happening. And it did not agree with the sentiments of some of those on the extreme end that were racially prejudiced to a degree where they would talk about it. There were probably good people, certainly wonderful Christians, that were part of the, that were trapped in that cultural time warp when things were that way. And unfortunately, where believers should have taken a stand, a stronger stand, to bridge that gap, they didn't do.
We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini. Be sure to comment below. We love to hear your comments, what you think about unifying, all this wonderful stuff. And also, don't forget to go to VFNKB Community and join the community. It's VFNKBCommunity.com.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Why you see that change?
Because it's time. You know the difference between you and these people? They're cowards. And you ain't.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
They didn't.
Well, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, it's not the I forget this part of it, it's not the voice of your enemies that bothers you, it's the silence of your friends, the ones who say nothing.
Who say nothing.
And here we are today at a time when the church needs to say something.
Yeah.
And it costs you to say something.
Right.
It costs you, once you start speaking love and what God says, it separates you from people who don't necessarily believe that. Jesus said, don't suppose I can bring peace but a sword. He's not talking about violence. He's just talking about when you lay the truth out there, that we're called to love
division.
Each other.
Yeah,
division happens, but you're not dividing people. It's a different kind of division.
Right.
It's people who want to walk with God and who loves people who are creating the image and the likeness of God, that we're all one ethnos now under Jesus Christ, created a new nation, although we're different flavors.
I'll tell you, Greg, I had people, when the Unity Movement began 3 years ago, members of my church that attended the first march and rally, older than me or my age, that were remembered, had the memories of the riots of the 70s, came up to me and said, we are so glad to see this happening now. We knew years ago this was wrong, and what was taking place and the attitudes were wrong. We are so thankful to God to see the changes that are occurring, right. referring to coming together in unity. Right. And that was spoken by people my age and older,
right.
even some Korean War era type people in their 80s were coming up and saying, man, we thank the Lord, we wish we could have seen this years ago. And it caused me to realize what you just said. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't agree, probably the vast majority,
right.
in both churches, black and white, mm-hmm. but refused, you know, didn't say anything at the time, maybe because of fear, maybe because of, you know, not knowing.
You see how people are being treated who speak up.
Yeah, that could have been it. Maybe just, but, and that doesn't make it right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, it's just reality of what did occur. And there's a need for a closure, something to happen that we can break that cycle.
Well, I know that, you know, we always think big crowds, but the truth is, even in the American Revolution, there's a very small percentage of Americans that right. were here that stood up to fight for the freedom of what we now know as the United States of America.
Right.
It wasn't 100%. I think it was like 20% or something like that, you know, and the rest yeah. of them just sat silently behind and then right. switched back and forth, you know, like Benedict, you know, different things right. going on. But you're, you know, we always think it, to be God, it has to be this majority. But even Jesus had 12 to change right. the world, just beginning. And then we find out, don't get offended with the people who didn't come along, but their heart was there. It just right. took them a while to get to that place.
Or, right.
to feel safe enough to be at that place. And Jesus yeah. was okay with that.
That's right.
You know, he's walking. He had no problem with Nicodemus meeting him at nighttime and going,
exactly.
hey, I want to be part of what's going on.
Greg, there were a few individuals, won't mention any names here because they're in heaven now,
okay.
but who had problems mm-hmm. On that issue of race. And over a period of time, through loving them, confronting them, talking to them, being patient with them, helping them along, they changed before they died. I can think of a few individuals mm-hmm. before they died. They had changed their attitudes on the racial issue. One of the at the funeral service of one of those men, an adult son came up to me and said, "My daddy changed."
Mm.
He said, "We thank God he was here at Myrtle Grove with you." He said, "We never thought we'd see it, but my dad changed." And you know, my wife Marilyn had made it a point to work on that guy.
Right, right, right.
You know, and people can change.
Yeah.
But it takes patience and love. And it takes someone to step out and lead the way.
You know, the elephant in the room is this,
yeah.
that if you say you love me, Jesus, right? If you say you love me, but you don't love your brother,
right.
then he says your profession of me mm-hmm. is not a true profession. He basically just says it's a lie. So literally I find right. out who I am in God by how I love you.
Right.
If I don't love you, despite all my little prayer life, despite all my messages, I mean, that's the elephant in the room is, right. if I can't love you that I can see, how can I love God who I can't see?
Amen to that.
You know what I'm saying? And so
yeah.
I think the elephant in the room, I mean, there's almost been some narrative that says, well, it's kind of optional. It's like, dude, you've got to love. If you right. don't love, you don't know God. God is love.
Right.
And so the enemy tries to divide us by a lot of different things, but we're talking about, you know, race here. But the reality is that when you have to love, you have to lay your life down and
right.
what you want right now. And it's about us together moving as one and edifying him, not necessarily always just edifying ourselves.
Yeah.
But the elephant in the room is, if I die hating you and I expect God to go, oh, you love me so much when I get to his throne room, then either he's a liar or I'm a liar, and God's right. not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. So I look back at those past situations, and I wasn't in that situation, you know. But I look back, and you just think, you know, how could that have happened? And why come the truth wasn't being preached? I remember, yeah. you know, seeing what happened with the integration of the schools, and watch people in the name of Jesus stand up and yell at these poor right. little innocent young black children going because the adult said you need to go to the school,
right?
And they literally had marshal service to walk them into the school,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing that in the name of the church. I'm like, that ain't right. the church. That's no, just not the church. If you don't, no. it's just not.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's important to clarify this. As you know, this is a very important thing because it shows us that who we are. First of all, Jesus is not white, so right. we know that, right? And that, but we're all made in the image and likeness of God. You know, we're come from the ashes, we go back to the ashes, our spirit goes to be with him. So, you know, that the very fact that what we were talking about in this unity movement is, let's start loving God here.
Mm-hmm.
Not just have just get together. It's like, let's show our love for God by right. loving each other.
Right.
Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, long suffering, no records.
Right. Keeps no records of wrongs. So this does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth.
Yeah. And so what you're really saying with this movement, the unity movement, unified in Christ, is that the fact is, hey, let's just love God. Right. If we love God, God can use that to share with the whole world that he loves them as much as he loves Jesus himself. Mm. Right? John 17 talks about it. And so it's a love movement when you think about it.
Yeah.
So if we can get through the barriers that divide our love, God will handle the whole world if we'll do that.
Yes, he will.
Right? And so,
Amen.
Well, that's kind of the elephant in the room. And it's like, I'd make it my life's mission to get past what's the barriers that's keeping me from loving someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And to the elephants out of the room. We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini. Be sure to comment below. We love to hear your comments, what you think about unifying, all this wonderful stuff. And also, don't forget to go to VFNKB Community and join the community. It's VFNKBCommunity.com.
We'll be right back.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're gonna work for you. I wanna help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I wanna bless you with my book for free. That's right, I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about, it's free. Claim your book, don't wait a second longer, and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're in 2016, you write about it in your book, and I remember we're on the air covering it with the racial rights that were going on, the divisions that was taking place in Baltimore and throughout the country. And, you know, I remember pastors going on the streets. You know, police couldn't resolve it. People weren't listening to authority. They're burning the stores and, you know, conversation that still hadn't happened yet. They want to have the conversation. People don't understand there's a conversation. And the pastors went to the streets and said, listen, we will help bring this to a place. And they did. They went in the streets in the midst of all the fighting. Mm-hmm. So what's my question to you is, how can pastors, you know, help bring healing to our nation?
Amen. Well, again, going back to what we've just been talking about with the unity movement is coming together to honor the request of our Lord in John 17, to love each other and to be one, that I think the conversation starts in each community, like it did on the west side of Pensacola, with us crossing the street, getting out of our building and office, crossing the road to the church next door, down the road, down the block, a mile down over here, in our community, sitting down face to face with that other under shepherd and saying, you know what, in a week from now, let's bring our congregations together for a time of joint celebration about the gospel.
Right.
And then looking for churches and groups ethnically, culturally different than you are. It's going to take an initiative from the under-shepherds to go ahead and come out of just the mindset of mine. Building my kingdom.
Yeah.
And building a big church, and my, this is my work, and it's going to require getting us out of the McDonald's Burger King
right.
competition. My hamburgers are better than your Methodist hamburgers.
Right.
My Baptist tortillas are better than your Pentecostal. We're going to have to get away from that and realize it's not a competitive thing that we're in. We are
on the same
team.
Family.
And while the world grows more chaotic and evil becomes more pervasive, the realization that if we don't unite together, we're going to miss out on an opportunity to make the kind of impact that Jesus said we can make. The world will know that God sent his son if we show the power of the gospel to love each other. So that's what every pastor can do.
So everything divided against itself will not stand. So if the church does not unite and come together as we know it, you look at the church in Russia, who was more of a traditional mindset, and they're in buildings and had this organization, but the church in China, they actually had more of a family related, connected. Right. Well, persecution came to both, and the Russian church just literally just snuffed out.
Right.
But the Chinese church just thrived and is still going today.
Right.
And so you're looking at, you know, we got to unite because those days are actually here and they're coming. So I know we looked at the tragedy also that took place, you know, coming from law enforcement perspective myself, and then watching, you know, officers executed in the streets when they're eating their lunch in New York, when they're, you know, in, you know, Louisiana. And then they had the situation in Dallas where, you know, the officers were helping guard the community while they did their First Amendment, exercise the First Amendment right to speak out on an issue. And then one man comes in and that's why I always talk about, you know, how enemies can come in and hijack movements.
Right.
And he hijacked that.
Yep.
And he began to say, I hate white people. And he began to shoot police officers and murdered them in the streets. It was just tragic. And we were on the air. We're wondering, like, you know, what's going to happen? What's going on? I remember T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, who was in Dallas. He began to host really a nationwide conversation. And he began it right there at his own church. And we had that on VFN TV. But let's just take a glance at that real quick, like.
As we begin to lead a discussion, or participate, I should say, in a discussion that is going on around America. And it is a difficult discussion, but it is an important discussion. I have learned in life that you cannot avoid difficult discussions. It's not healthy, it's not wise, it's not smart. You have to talk about things, even if you put yourself at risk emotionally by exposing your own feelings. And if you don't do that, it's not healthy, and it leads to the detriment of a relationship not to be able to talk. Can you say amen? As best as I can determine, this week we've had some atrocities and some painful things to go through as a people. That affects all Americans, from Baton Rouge to Minneapolis. We started seeing on our television screens the kinds of images that nobody wants to see. And our children see them. And how do we explain to our children what happened in Baton Rouge? Especially when we don't fully understand ourselves. How do you find the words to explain what happened in Minneapolis and the pain thereof? And a lot of what we see the same picture, but how we feel about the pictures also depends on our history that we bring to the moment. We see the same images, but they also conjure up reflections out of our own life and past, and a lot of our opinions and perspectives are based on where we came from and what it reminds us of and how we deal with those kinds of issues. And out of that national narrative, there were marches and demonstrations that began to break out, not only here in Dallas, but all over the country. But particularly here in Dallas, what began as a peaceable demonstration, where people began to exercise their rights to march and to comment and to express themselves and to process. The kind of demonstration that mothers had strollers. These weren't thugs. People brought their kids out. And it wasn't just black people. It was black people and white people and brown people. Don't let the media fool you. It wasn't just black people. It was all kinds of people. I pray the day will come that the world will not tell us what we think based on the color of our skins. as if we are all monolithic. We are not monolithic. All black people don't think the same things. All white people don't think the same things. All Christians don't think the same things. Glory to God, I can't even get all my kids to agree on where we're going to eat. So that uniqueness of our opinions and our perspectives is what makes this country great. And we were exercising that, and that was going very well. There was a certain amount of frolicking and camaraderie existing between the demonstrators and the police, because the demonstration was not really against the police officers, it was against police brutality. Let's put it in its proper perspective. And in the process of all of that, out of nowhere comes an attack.
The attack was a man beginning to shoot and kill, murder police officers in the streets of Dallas. It was so tragic. I can't even say enough. You're probably seeing some of the images right now of what was going on then. And all of America is astir. And after that, I remember, you know, the citizens of Dallas coming out to do the one thing we have to do is to love. And so they were so hurt by what happened, and they knew that the officers were so hurt, they lost their fellow officers. And so they came to the streets to comfort and to love. As a matter of fact, take a look, this is what they did.
Thank you. God bless you.
Support out here pretty good?
Very much.
Thank you, sir. We need it
right now. We need to work someday together as a community. We need to work close.
Before I use
one. It validates right here. They are. But it's different. it's hard work.
Okay.
It's hard work. We appreciate that.
Think about this. For hours, they came there and loved in the midst of all the hate, all the anger, murder, blood in the street, bodies still in the morgue, tragedy, brokenhearted nation, crazy things going on. The whole community began to camp. That's for hours. You can see the whole thing on BFN KB, the BFN torch there, but just a piece of it. And it's like, when you're hurting, when you're going through this tragedy, you know, loving is so important. We're talking about that. But I know that, so I'm crying out that time going like, what's going on? Is, you know, the whole nation's shaking, but is the church shaking? We're going to continue with this interview on VFN TV. Catch us tomorrow. But remember how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Show our love for God by loving each other.
Right.
Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, long suffering, no records.
Right.
Of wrongs.
Keeps no records of wrongs.
So this
does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth.
Yeah. And so what you're really saying with this movement, the unity movement, unified in Christ, is that in fact is, hey, let's just love God.
Right.
If we love God, God can use that to share with the whole world that He loves them as much as He loves Jesus Himself.
Mm.
Right? John 17 talks about it. And so it's a love movement when you think about it.
Yeah.
So if we can get through the barriers that divide our love, God will handle the whole world if we'll do
yes,
that.
Yes, He will.
Right? And so,
yeah. Amen.
Well, that's kind of the elephant in the room. And it's like, I'd make it my life's mission to get past what's the barriers that's keeping me from loving someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to the elephants out of the room. We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini. Be sure to comment below. We love to hear your comments, what you think about unifying, all this wonderful stuff. And also, don't forget to go to VFNKB Community and join the community. It's VFNKBCommunity.com.
We'll be right back.
I have a dream that one day
This nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're gonna work for you. I wanna help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I wanna bless you with my book for free. That's right, I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about, it's free. Claim your book, don't wait a second longer, and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're in 2016, you write about it in your book, and I remember we're on the air covering it with the racial rights that were going on, the divisions that was taking place in Baltimore and throughout the country. And, you know, I remember pastors going on the streets. You know, police couldn't resolve it. People weren't listening to authority. They're burning the stores. And, you know, conversation that still hadn't happened yet. They want to have the conversation. People don't understand there's a conversation. And the pastors went to the streets and said, listen, we will help bring this to a place. And they did. They went in the streets in the midst of all the fighting. Mm-hmm. So what's my question to you is, how can pastors, you know, help bring healing to our nation?
Amen. Well, again, going back to what we've just been talking about with the unity movement, is coming together to honor the request of our Lord in John 17, to love each other and to be one, that I think the conversation starts in each community, like it did on the west side of Pensacola, with us crossing the street, getting out of our building and office, crossing the road to the church next door, down the road, down the block, a mile down over here, in our community, sitting down face to face with that other under shepherd and saying, you know what, in a week from now, let's bring our congregations together for a time of joint celebration about the gospel.
Right.
And then looking for churches and groups ethnically, culturally different than you are. It's going to take an initiative from the under shepherds to go ahead and come out of just the mindset of building my kingdom and building a big church, and this is my work. And it's going to require getting us out of the McDonald's Burger King competition. My hamburgers are better than your Methodist hamburgers.
Right.
My Baptist tortillas are better than your Pentecostal. We're going to have to get away from that and realize it's not a competitive thing that we're in. We are
we're
on
the same
team.
Family.
And while the world grows more chaotic and evil becomes more pervasive, the realization that if we don't unite together, we're going to miss out on an opportunity to make the kind of impact that Jesus said we can make. The world will know that God sent his son if we show the power of the gospel to love each other. So that's what every pastor can do.
So everything divided against itself will not stand. So if the church does not unite and come together as we know it, you look at the church in Russia, who was more of a traditional mindset, and they're in buildings and had this organization. But the church in China, they actually had more of a family-related, connected. Right. Well, persecution came to both, And the Russian church just literally just snuffed out.
Right.
But the Chinese church just thrived and is still going today.
Amen.
And so you're looking at, you know, we got to unite because those days are actually here,
right,
and they're coming. So I know we looked at the tragedy also that took place, you know, coming from law enforcement perspective myself, and then watching, you know, officers executed in the streets when they're eating their lunch in New York, when they're, you know, in, you know, Louisiana, and then they had the situation in Dallas where, you know, the officers were helping guard the community while they did their First Amendment, exercise the First Amendment right to speak out on an issue. And then one man comes in and that's why he's talking about, you know, how enemies can come in and hijack movements.
Right.
And he hijacked that.
Yep.
And he began to say, I hate white people. And he began to shoot police officers and murdered them in the streets. It was just tragic. And we were on the air. We're wondering, like, you know, what's going to happen? What's going on? I remember T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, who was in Dallas. He began to host really a nationwide conversation, and he began it right there at his own church. And we had that on VFN TV. But let's just take a glance at that real quick, like.
As we begin to lead a discussion, or participate, I should say, in a discussion that is going on around America. And it is a difficult discussion, but it is an important discussion. I have learned in life that you cannot avoid difficult discussions. It's not healthy, it's not wise, it's not smart. You have to talk about things, even if you put yourself at risk emotionally by exposing your own feelings. And if you don't do that, it's not healthy, and it leads to the detriment of a relationship not to be able to talk. Can you say amen? As best as I can determine, this week we've had some atrocities and some painful things to go through as a people. That affects all Americans, from Baton Rouge to Minneapolis. We started seeing on our television screens the kinds of images that nobody wants to see. And our children see them. And how do we explain to our children what happened in Baton Rouge? Especially when we don't fully understand ourselves. How do you find the words to explain what happened in Minneapolis and the pain thereof? And a lot of what we see the same picture, but how we feel about the pictures also depends on our history that we bring to the moment. We see the same images, but they also conjure up reflections out of our own life and past, and a lot of our opinions and perspectives are based on where we came from and what it reminds us of and how we deal with those kinds of issues. And out of that national narrative, there were marches and demonstrations that began to break out, not only here in Dallas, but all over the country. But particularly here in Dallas, what began as a peaceable demonstration where people began to exercise their rights to march and to comment and to express themselves and to process. The kind of demonstration that mothers had strollers. These weren't thugs. People brought their kids out. And it wasn't just black people, it was black people and white people and brown people. Don't let the media fool you. It wasn't just black people, it was all kinds of people. I pray the day will come that the world will not tell us what we think based on the color of our skins, as if we are all monolithic. We are not monolithic. All black people don't think the same things. All white people don't think the same things. All Christians don't think the same things. Glory to God, I can't even get all my kids to agree on where we're going to eat. So that uniqueness of our opinions and our perspectives is what makes this country great. And we were exercising that, and that was going very well. There was a certain amount of frolicking and camaraderie existing between the demonstrators and the police, because the demonstration was not really against the police officers, it was against police brutality. Let's put it in its proper perspective. And in the process of all of that, out of nowhere comes an attack.
The attack was a man beginning to shoot and kill, murder police officers in the streets of Dallas. It was so tragic. I can't even say enough. You're probably seeing some of the images right now of what was going on then. And all of America is astir. And after that, I remember, you know, the citizens of Dallas coming out to do the one thing we have to do is to love. And so they were so hurt by what happened, and they knew that the officers were so hurt, they lost their fellow officers, and so they came to the streets to comfort and to love. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is what they did.
Support out here pretty good?
Very much.
Thank you, sir. We need it
right now. We need to work someday together as a community. We need to work those
issues. Where are you?
And validates right here daily. It's hard work. It's hard work. We appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Think about this. For hours, they came there and loved in the midst of all the hate, all the anger, murder, blood in the street, bodies still in the morgue, tragedy, brokenhearted nation, crazy things going on. The whole community began to camp. That's for hours. You can see the whole thing on VFN KB, the VFN torch there, but just a piece of it. And it's like when you're hurting, when you're going through this tragedy, you know, loving is so important. We're talking about that. But I know that. So I'm crying out that time going like, what's going on? Is, you know, the whole nation's shaking, but is the church shaking? We're going to continue with this interview on VFN TV. Catch us tomorrow. But remember how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.